Welcome to the PMFA Best Practices Operations Call. I'm Joel Smith, Papa Murphy's franchisee for 13 years. I have 8 stores in the Central Iowa or Des Moines area, and I'm also a John Maxwell Certified Coach and Leadership Trainer. Our purpose for this call is threefold. Number one, to have a place where franchisees, multi-unit leaders and managers can connect to learn and share best practices. Number two, to help owners work on our business and not just in it by leveraging our time and priorities effectively. And number three, to share systems and strategies that drive profitability so that we can not only survive but thrive. We know that the restaurant industry is a tough industry, so the more training, particularly in operations and leadership, that we can get, the better off we're going to be. So we are focusing now, we're in month two of a 5-month series of the 5-Star Playbook. And the 5-Star Playbook, just in case you weren't on the call last month, it's a playbook that PMI created several years ago to help franchisees and managers and owners to be able to focus on their business in a balanced way and be able to focus on the things that are most important. They conveniently sliced it up into 4 different categories, and those categories are people, customers, sales, and profits. Last month, we focused on our level 1, and so the 4 categories we talked about were staffing and hiring, cleanliness, forecasting, and cash handling. Today, we're going to talk about level 2 of the 5-Star Playbook. Those categories are team member training, quality product, shift management, and food cost, or COGS, cost of goods sold. My co-host today is Mickey Waters. Mickey Waters has been a franchisee for 2.5 years. She was a market leader for Papa Murphy's for 11.5 years, so she's been around the system for quite a while here. She also has some experience teaching the 5-Star Playbook. We're very blessed to have her on the call today and helping us through this series, and so we'll be gleaning knowledge from Mickey for the next 45 minutes or so. So welcome, Mickey.
Thank you so much, Joel. So 5-Star Playbook, you know, when we first were teaching this, it was so easy when everybody started looking at the book and they realized it was broken up in pieces. You mentioned that it's divided into the 4 sections. It makes it literally goes along with 1 bite at a time training. And Joel and I had the privilege of being at the Papa Murphy's convention just a couple of weeks ago, and they have enhanced the 1 bite at a time training program. They were giving away free kits to stores that signed up. One of my stores actually was part of the test group that helped out with the new program. And what it is it's just an expanded version of the 1 bite at a time program we have right now. And it falls right into that level 2 of the team member training section. I loved it. I just think it's really great. And so my managers, I've already given just a little bit of a preview of it. And so we're going to start using it as soon as it gets here. But we also have been using the 1 bite at a time training program, excuse me, I keep saying it wrong, all along, using the trifolds in our stores. It's just a great program. It makes it so easy.
Yeah, we use those too. It is good. You can just put them in your pocket if you're the trainer, and you can just get going, start working with somebody, and stop halfway through, kind of check it off, get caught up, answer some questions, and keep moving.
Yeah. The one thing I liked about what they were doing with the new program that they previewed at convention was, and I've seen the success of this in other stores, they've enhanced the poster, and they're really encouraging you to have the poster out where everybody can see it, because it's a little bit of a competition piece. You know, if Michael has already gotten through these modules, and Sarah is looking at Michael going, wait a minute, I'm better than Michael. I can do this. And having it out there, it is, we saw in the one store we were doing the training on, we saw that little bit of competition, and people wanted to get their modules done and get their marks up on that poster. So that was helpful, but it also made our assistant managers and our shift supervisors a little bit more accountable, because we would look on their shift to see if they had gotten any training done while they were working their shift. So we've kind of pushed them to be, you know, more involved in that training also. You know, we're checking up on those posters. My area supervisors are checking up on them on a regular basis, and we're doing timings in the stores. Some of these things I want them to add to their employee success plans. You know, this is something that shows that they've made some specific progress. So we'll add that to somebody's success plan or their employee review, some stores call it. I like to call it a success plan because I want everybody to be a leader and I want them all to be successful.
Right. Yeah. So, Mickey, I know one thing that you're kind of excited about, and so am I, and we've talked about this briefly in the past, but since we're talking about team member training, so we have a pretty cool app called Zapper that's out now.
I love Zapper.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So Zapper, I mean, every store has got Zapper. Whether you realize it or not, every store has got Zapper. The posters, the big posters, condensed posters we got for all the job aids, those all have the Zapper app on them. And so the one thing that when we came back from convention, we just told our store managers and our assistant managers, we actually want them, as they're training, to take the Zapper app and teach another red shirt, our black shirts teach another red shirt, a Zapper. So what I encourage them to do, and it's in an email that's going out to them today, is to take your manager's or take your employee's schedule, highlight in the same color a black shirt and a red shirt. On this day, teach the red shirt a Zapper. You know, go over and do a Zapper. And then on another day, there may be, you know, on some days, there may be three people that are paired up to do a Zapper. It's going to get you through that training so much quicker. Make sure when you go to the App Store that you go to Zappar, Z-A-P-P-A-R, not Zapper, because Zapper will not get you there. It's Zappar. So that was the one thing. I had a lot of kids downloading the wrong app, and they were like, it doesn't work. Oh, yeah, it does. Watch this. So I love Zapper. I think it's great.
And they could look at the little icon on the job aids as well and see the little icon there and look for that little bolt of lightning for in their
Have that on your walls in the back of the house, you need to go and make sure that your stores have it. If you're a franchisee and you haven't been in and seen that those new job aids are up, go in there and double check that. And for me, I went through and zapped all of them. Watched them all myself because I wanted to make sure, I guess my due diligence was I wanted to make sure I was doing it right.
Right.
And because sometimes something may change.
That's right.
I think there was a little bit of a change on Cinnamon Wheel. And we were all like, wait a minute. Now we're using a measurement on the cup, third of a cup instead of ounces. And so we all went, whoa, okay. So that was a change for a couple of us. But if you don't go and watch it, you're not going to know that.
That's right. I really love the Zapper app, too. It just makes things so much easier and simpler. And it's going to stay updated all the time. So you know you're always going to have the most current. So as far as team member training, Mickey, what would you say if you were going to talk to a brand new manager, maybe from a different company, and if they were going to ask you the one thing, the one piece of advice that would get them started in the right direction, what would you tell them?
I would tell them use the tools that we already have in place. So simple. One bite at a time and Zapper. Those are the two things. Go through, know those, use those. For me, I just hate seeing managers trying to recreate the wheel. And every time a new manager comes into the store, they go, oh, I have to make a cleaning list. Oh,
right.
I need a new early out list. Use what's there. And then if you need to enhance it, do that.
Yep.
Use the tools that are there. And use our Operations Excellence Manual. Read that. Make sure that your store manager and your assistant managers read that as part of their training. Because if they don't know why and what, they can't teach why and what to any team member.
I would agree with that. That's so important. You know, it's hard enough to get consistent operations if you own one store. But if you're a multi-unit owner, you own two or three or eight stores like you or myself, it's just that much more difficult, especially if you have employees that move between stores a little bit. So just getting that buy-in from everybody can be a challenge, but this, you know, these resources make it so much simpler to do that.
Yeah.
So
and,
I like that.
And then you don't, if you have to move a manager to another store or something like that, you don't have them having to learn another process.
Right.
You're all doing it the same, and you're doing it by the Operations Excellence Manual. You know, you can move people around if you need to.
That's right. Okay, so our second part of today presentation is
quality.
Quality, yes.
Again, so looking here and serving high quality food, it really talks about all those things that the manager has to, or the manager who's on duty, or even assigning these tasks to a shift supervisor, making sure that you're getting your produce deliveries the minimum amount each week, that people are checking in those orders so that you're not, you know, you're not getting shorted a product, or that your case weights are the right thing. You know, there's been cases in past, not with Papa Murphy's, but I experienced this with another concept where we had a produce vendor who was selling tomatoes on the side. So every lug of tomatoes we got, instead of being 25 pounds, was about 23 pounds. So throughout the day, he was making an extra lug and selling them, you know, down at Saturday Market or someplace like that. So he's making a little money on the side. And it was costing us. Big thing for us, and we have timers set in stores. We make sure that those temperature logs are done twice a day. We are fanatic about that. The other thing that I've done, and I would share this as a best practice for owners so that you can kind of keep track of some things. I have an iPhone, and I use Notes on the iPhone. And one of the things that I do in Notes is I have one set of notes in my iPhone that is shared. It's shared with my two area supervisors. At least once a week, when they go into their four stores that they have each, they do a double check and make sure that the temperature log has been done and completed for the week, that if there were any temperatures that were out of range, that corrections were made. They also go through and check on dating of product. So every week, I get an update from them on what's been done, and it comes in on my iPhone and their iPhones on the shared notes. Just another tool. I mean, most of us have an iPhone that's got, and everybody, if you've got an iPhone, you've got notes in there. So sometimes it's about using the tools that you've already got.
Right.
Forecasting, making sure that prep is done. And using a prep list is really important on quality. We check dough on a regular basis. You know, I'll go and ask the team members, what time are you closing up the dough totes? Because I don't want to find out they're closing them at closing. I want to know they're closing them right around 50 degrees.
I agree with that. Oh, and that's a really good point. I want to pause on that for just a second. You know, we might be finishing our dough at 11 o'clock in the morning or 11:30 by noon, at which it's usually by 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 that the temperature gets down below 50 and we need to close it up. And if we wait 9 o'clock before we close up the totes, it's really going to be dry in the morning.
Really dry. Yeah. And then you end up with alligator edges, especially for delights. Delights will cool down so much quicker because the dough balls are smaller. It just invariably, you know, if I go in and I can go back and pinpoint, because in our stores we have video. If I wonder about consistent alligator edges on crust, I'll go back and I'll look, and we use the video for training. We don't look at it to catch people doing things wrong, but we will go back and identify issues. So I'll go back and I'll look and see what time those people went in there. And if somebody goes in the walk-in and they're in there for quite a while, I know they were closing up totes.
Yep. I always look for the pinhole in the top of the dough balls, too, just to make sure that it's there. So one thing I would say, too, just to kind of complement what you're saying, is if you're an owner or manager out there listening to this and you're hearing what we're talking about dough, keep in mind that dough is the backbone of our entire product. And it is so important that we make the dough correctly every single day. And in order to do that, you have to know how to diagnose. if you can't diagnose dough, you're going to have struggles keeping a consistent product. So you need to know things like what happens when your water temperature is too warm or too cold. You know, if it's too warm, it's going to proof up too quickly. It's going to take a lot longer to get down below 50 degrees. If you're using too much water or too little water, we're not going to answer all of these questions today, but make sure you find those things out. Ask around with other people, whatever we need to do, but get it right. Make sure you know exactly how to diagnose so that you can pinpoint that. And when you pull dough out of the cooler in the morning and you start to sheet and it's just there's something wrong, figure out why. Don't just say, must have been a bad batch.
Another day of wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do another day of wrong. Find out who made the dough yesterday, what might have been the problem. Diagnose it, work backwards, and figure it out, because that's the most important thing. I learned that early on. We struggled when I was a new owner and struggled with that, and took us a while, but once we got it figured out, it really helped a lot. So that's a big point.
And I would say, you know, again, using the tools that we've got, there is troubleshooting in the Operations Excellence Manual, you know, and that thing is housed on your back of the house computer in every single store now. So go to it, you know, put in dough and go to the dough section, because there's troubleshooting information in there. I'm all again, using those tools and figuring it out. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with shift management. Going every day, I'm a big believer in recapping what happened today to help you be successful, even more successful tomorrow. Take a look at that dough. Take a look at your prep. Take a look at what you wasted, because all of that affects your quality. If you were using product that wasn't great, to make sure that you're using best product today and have the best dough today. We, again, in shift management, I believe in checklists. My husband is a private pilot. If he was getting in a cockpit today, he would use the checklist. He went to flight school years and years ago, and still you use a checklist to make sure everything is right. We use a checklist. We use a prep list. I want them, you know, on workflow. Workflow is a perfect example. Workflow is the same every single day. It's a checklist. In order to get all the numbers right and to get everything to balance, you use the checklist. Doing that in your shift management, setting up your shift, running through the shift, recouping, and reviewing, to me is very important, because many shifts are the same. You know, if you didn't use a checklist tomorrow, if you had a bad day today, you're probably going to have a bad day tomorrow if you don't fix it and learn from what you did and use your checklist to make sure you've got everything done.
Yeah, I agree. I've noticed when it comes to checklists or systems, there's kind of a different mentality that most people have towards that, and I think it's a little bit backwards. I think there's a lot of people that think that you need checklists and you need these things like training wheels just when you're inexperienced, and then once you become experienced, then you can push those away. But what I found out is that the opposite is true. In fact, the more experience you get and the wiser you get as an operator, the more you realize that you really need to do that. Mm-hmm. Even if it seems redundant, there's like a secondary effect that it has on the rest of the crew. It sets a stage. It helps everybody understand that this now is a culture. This is a culture of doing this. It's not about the checks or the initials. It's about what's taking place that the checks and initials are there for. It's the other part. It's the exceptional service. It's the store readiness. It's the cleanliness. That when we put an emphasis on that over and over and over, then we realize it's not about the check marks.
Well, and also, you and I may be able to run a very smooth shift, but what are we doing? We're running it. We're not teaching other people to run it. I tell people all the time, my goal is to make this a forever job for you. Whoever I'm hiring, I want this to be a forever job for you. If it's not a forever job, I want to teach you forever skills that you will take to your next job. So that means that I don't want to have to run a shift because I lose a manager. I want the next person to have learned. I want my assistant managers and my shift managers to learn from those checklists and from that consistency to be able to run a good shift. It's all about teaching the bench. It's all about making sure that today's shift is great and that tomorrow's is going to be too. So I think, you know, everything in the shift management section of the playbook speaks to that. It talks about the follow-up items on doing prep, making sure that AOS is ready, making sure that the garbage and the cardboard gets taken out before dark time, you know, dark. And how many times have we gone into a store the next morning and seen garbage piled to the ceiling at the back door because somebody, you know, didn't get the trash out, just right. got forgotten. You know, making sure that the grab and go is stocked, you know, to the hilt before dinner. There's so much, making sure that this position chart is done. I'm adamant about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want six people walking to the back to take, you know, inserts to the sink. I want somebody designated to do it. I want everybody staying up front to serve the guests and finding cleaning jobs and organizational jobs and things like that. You know, having all that, it sets the mood and it sets the pace. So I'm a big believer in all the different things and identifying these opportunities that they call out here in the
yep.
book.
I think when I think of shift management, one of the things that I think of that is so important is just the word empowerment. Sometimes we think that the leader makes all the decisions. The leader calls the shots. In fact, boy, if you really want to have a great crew and have a great experience and have a shift run really well, you really have to have empowerment. What's your take on empowerment?
Well, I learned years and years ago that if the person who, you know, especially if it's a guest who's having an issue, the first person that they complain to, if they're the person that can fix it for them, they are much more apt to come back and be satisfied with the outcome. If they have to go through a chain of people to get satisfied with something that went wrong, they just continue to get disillusioned and a little bit more, you know, angst about the situation. I go back to that same word, leadership. I want everybody to become a leader. I so believe in that. They, you know, when they feel that they're in charge of something or responsible or connected, they do a much better job. I
yep.
want leaders. And not everybody wants to be the same kind of leader. You can be a leader and make my Pepsi order. You can be a leader and make my produce order. You can be a leader in the back of the house and be part of, you know, my dough team. Not everybody has to be up front, but we really hire for that personality and being able to interact with the guests, because the guest is what's going to make the business.
Sure.
And
yep.
I can teach a lot of the other stuff. I can teach people how to make dough. And I'm a big believer in cross-training.
Yep. Oh, that's excellent, Mickey. I appreciate your thoughts on all that. So our last segment today is on food cost or cost of goods sold. Mm-hmm. So what do we do?
Well, my partners and I combined have 8 stores. We have 2 stores that are struggling with food costs. So we're looking at a number of things. The rest of the other 6 stores are within that 1% variance, and so we're looking at those constantly. But the 2 stores that are struggling, where we see they're struggling, is in dough. They're wasting too much dough. The other thing that they're doing is they're wasting too many pizzas. So pizzas are being made wrong and then not getting sold, or they're getting made wrong and being wasted. Or a guest doesn't come and pick up an online order, not an unpaid online order, and so we end up with pizzas at the end of the night. So this week we're going back through and we're doing some focused training in those 2 stores on, you know, what's going wrong with the dough numbers? Do we have somebody who's using their gut to try to figure those out? Or do we have cashiers who are just putting that pizza back in the walk-in for I don't know what reason instead of trying to sell it? So we're focusing on that. The other thing that we're doing is we're talking with managers about making sure that we're not over-prepping, because we've had some really hot days and slow days. So that was definitely an issue. And we pulled the waste reports. So, you know, we looked at week by week on those waste reports. We have one of our area supervisors taking those numbers and showing it for all the stores on, you know, what each category's waste was, whether it was in meats, whether it was in salads, whether it was in AOS items. And then we're also looking at, for those two stores, the possibility that they're going to have to go in and do some extra inventories just to kind of make sure that we don't have product going out the door. Double-checking their inventory numbers. Make sure there's not something hinky going on. As an owner, you know, if you woke up one morning and on your WSR, you were $300 short, what would you do? Probably get pretty hysterical right out of the chute. But when we look at our inventory, let's say we look at the inventory for the period, and if we're off by $600 or $700, do we get as ramped up about that? We should. Because it is dollars.
Right.
And so that's one of the things that we teach them is, you know, if you're $300 short, you'd be pretty ramped up. You should be that ramped up when you're looking at your inventories.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is important. You know, having that consistent follow-up either from an owner or an area supervisor is so important because, number one, you need to make sure that the numbers are accurate. And so it's so easy to make mistakes when you're counting. You could use, especially if you're a new manager, just trying to get used to the units and just the POS entry and so on. And so getting the number, the numbers right is the first thing, because you really can't make any kind of determination or judgment on numbers until you know they're right.
Yes, correct.
And once you know they're right, then you can look at the patterns and see what the patterns are telling you. Are they bouncing back and forth, or are they consistently high or consistently low? Because that's it's a whole different way to approach the problem depending on that. You know, if something's bouncing back and forth, it's typically going to be it's just a miscount. It's somebody's not taking the time to count, or maybe they've got two people in the store doing counts and they're counting differently. That's not a good thing either. And then, but when you look at those patterns and you see that the same product is consistently over month after month or week after week, then one thing we have done with that is we've kind of taken the approach of each store focusing on two products each week. So let's say mozzarella is high and ground beef is high, for consistently high in one store, then they would just focus on those two items, not everything else. So they wouldn't just try to preach to their crew, hey, we got to get better on food costs. We got to get better at weighing and measuring and not waste anything. We're focusing on two items. Mm-hmm. Whatever those two items are, say, we're going to tackle these two items this week. And that's helped us when we've been able to focus in on one type of item. And every store is going to look a little bit different, but it gives you a focus. It gives your manager something to focus on, too.
Yeah, so and I like that idea of the focus, you know, the finite focus. We used to encourage stores to put like a piece of blue painter's tape right above that insert on the make line. You know, easily removable. You can always clean underneath it and then put another little piece of blue tape on there. And it just reminds the team that's the thing we're really focusing on our portioning today. And I think that the playbook, you know, calls out all the different things that you and I spoke about, making sure that the forecasts are right, making sure that we've checked the products when they come in the door, making sure that we're, you know, training the employees right, that our inventory is checked or our inventory is counted accurately, minimizing storage and loss. You know, are we ordering too much? That's another thing. You know, new managers have a tendency to overorder. And with products that only may have a few days shelf life, especially produce, and then our meats, some of our meats with 10 days, we got to make sure those are, you know, in check. Making sure that we eliminate product theft, because, you know, it happens. And we can't be naive and say, there isn't one that I don't trust. I'm going to tell you, you need to be watching out. And I love Pulse for that. I love being able to look at every single ticket If I see 100% discount on a ticket, you can bet you I am so in that store the next morning, or my area supervisors are looking to see what happened. Even on our big tickets, I've been using the big tickets for a little bit different discount, and maybe we'll save that for another day and I can tell you about that. But everything in this section breaks it down for what you need to be looking at in food costs. And again, you can't do all of it yourself. You have to empower, as you mentioned, other people to look at different parts of this. You'll make yourself crazy and you won't get any sleep.
Yep, that's right. You need to empower other people to be part of the solution willingly, voluntarily, that people are owning it along with you as opposed to just being obedient. You don't want your managers just telling other people what you're telling them, because that's the wrong way to lead. Yeah. We really want to get the buy-in from each of our people. So that requires creative leadership. It requires helping our leaders understand what's going on in your brain, helping them understand the direction of the company and what our goals are and what it really takes to make a profit and to give great customer service and all of this. So I appreciate everything that you've been talking about, Mickey. It's refreshing listening to you, and we think so much alike. We do.
Yeah. And there's a lot of us out there that think alike this, because I think, you know, with age comes wisdom. And I think you're much younger than myself, but yet we still have that same philosophy. I love to teach, and I want people to be leaders. I want leaders coming out of all of my stores. And again, whether they stay with me or move on, I want them to be able to, maybe it's a bragging thing, I want them to be able to tell them that they learned it at Papa Murphy's.
Yeah.
Wherever they go.
So in review, today we talked about team member training, quality, shift management, and food cost. So next month, we'll talk about level 3, which is payroll, safety, and HR administration, hospitality, increased average check, and then labor. So we'll get to dig in. And as we go through these, we see that they're becoming a little bit more detailed. First things that we talked about, level 1, that's just as important as anything. So it's not becoming more important, but it's becoming more detailed.
You know, as we're wrapping this up, I just want to put a plug in again for convention. Say that I really thought convention this year was super. I thought all of the Papa Murphy's team members at the support center were so engaged. I really enjoyed their energy. And I know that bits and pieces of things that we saw at convention are now being posted on the FreshNet. So if you haven't gone there to see those, or if you couldn't attend convention, there are pieces that are going to be on there. The new labor module is on there. There's been a whole bunch of local store marketing webinars that are all posted there for ramping up your local store marketing. Don't forget, we've got National Cheese Pizza Day online on September 5th, so you want to make sure your stores are getting ready for that. I don't know that it's going to be a barn burner, but I sure want to make sure that every guest comes in that's ordering one online. And I've got my online promo calendar posted right by my desk. I keep it right here so I know what's changing. And today is August 27th, and we've got new promos that start today. And then the second big event is next month, and that is also, let me see, that is on September 20th, and that's Free Pepperoni Large Pizza Day, again, an online promotion. So for me, making sure my leaders are ready, make sure that they've done their checklist in preparation for that day, so no guest walks away unsatisfied.
You know, our experience with Pi Day is going to help us be ready for these couple things coming up, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, I'm going to tell you, we were so ready for Cookie Dough Day. And we didn't quite have the results we hoped, but having that long shelf life on cookie dough, you know, we were able to sell it. We didn't waste any cookie dough. So that was really great. And we can all make a cheese pizza and a pepperoni pizza pretty darn quick, but we will prepare for it. We'll bump up dough, bump up cheese, bump up pepperoni. No guest is going to be unsatisfied when it comes to that. We want to take advantage of those.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you, Mickey. Appreciate all your thoughts. We'll call this to a conclusion here. We will stick around for a few minutes if anybody does have any questions in time. But other than that, thanks to everybody for being on the call. And we'll see you next month.
One other thing, Joel. Just remember, mm-hmm. anybody who has any questions, they can reach out to you or I on the PMFA website or on Messenger. Both great places to find us on Facebook.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, everybody.